gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ.
Welcome once again to the Faith Walking Meditations, Faith Walking Conversations that we have about things that matter to the state of our soul. We were just commenting how that question is a question that brings us to a different place sometimes. What is the state of your soul? And becoming aware of where we are spiritually. So these conversations are about things that are important in that matter. So we are exploring a book that is known probably for many of you people who are listening, John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's good content, really good, especially in this time of this age, right? John Mark is, let's put it that way, is a disciple of John Ortberg. And John Ortberg is a disciple of Dallas Willard. So we're talking about a line of people who are they have something to say, let's put it that way, about the spirituality. So this book is relevant. It talks about the pace of our lives. And this week we're going to talk about the history of hurry, right? As it's the second chapter, and it's a good way of, I think he called it the story of speed. You know, he does a good job bringing in context. How is that we got here, right? In this amazing reality of being people, I will say, over-committed, over-stimulated, over-informed, and also over-anxious, most of us, right? This is what we live. So these are some thoughts to start, jumpstart our conversation. So human history is also the history of hurry. Indeed, a continuous strive to increase human capacity for more. That's what came up for me. I'm reading this and very present to it. More of everything, more productivity, more control, especially. And I understand this. This is not a judgment. I understand that when we control the more, or the most we control, the less afraid we are, because we feel that in control as human beings, we have safety. So yeah, we want to control more, right? Little things, big things. And sometimes I think if we find out that we can control less, but more speed for sure. We are, I have memories of not having cell phones, of course, and having to be in a house somewhere where there's a cable to the phone. And now it's different. I remember my first cell phone and anyway, then the internet, right? I remember the dial-up, right? Tick, 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 and the crrr, that little sound that was there. And now we're talking about gigabytes, right? Of speed, gigabytes. So anyway, more, the history of having more to have, more to know, information. It is something that has been amazing. The Encyclopedia Britannica, or I don't know, I remember those big books that people will sell door to door. Now everything is online and is available. So I'll put it in this way. It's a history of lust. I'm not talking about sexual lust. It's a lust for more, right? Greed, wanting to have more. And a history of growth, or is a history of growth of development. You choose. And I am a big fan of dialectics, by the way. I am a big fan of these paradoxes. I believe they are very important in our spiritual life, right? So is this just bad or there is some good? Obviously, there are some good of this, right? We have more. We live longer. We have, you know, really overcome things that were very impossible time ago, medicine, etc. But when when too much of something becomes a bad thing, right? Or when there is the pros and cons of this development are measured. And I think this is a good question for us to consider, because maybe in the past we didn't have a choice, but today I would like to believe that we have a choice in choosing this, to continue in this strive, in this race to have more or not. Anyway, the positives of more justify its negatives. I believe a level of culture, society, that's a way of thinking, right? Culturally, this is framed as progress. And in a way, we have become a bit blind to the negative impact. We have become less connected in every arena of our lives, right? Less connected to ourselves. The book talks about sleeping. It's a time when people will sleep an average of 11 hours per night, per day. Wow, that's a lot, like babies, right? That's what we'll say now. But oh my gosh, how much sleep we need and how little sometimes we get. We are not connected with our bodies, really. I'm aware of this art, especially in Europe. I don't remember exactly where I saw it, but these art figures are created with little bodies, tiny bodies and huge heads, so heavy that, you know, the body is kind of trying to drag the head that has grown so much. And I think there's a point, right? We live in our heads, and virtual reality is one of those things, right? Our bodies, sometimes we need to really slow down and breathe. And we see that in our health in general. Anyway, we're disconnected from others, even though we can access and text message with people in China and Ecuador. At the moment, we are disconnected. It's very superficial sometimes. Some of us are disconnected from God. I think many of us are disconnected from nature. That's a beautiful, there's a lot to say about it, but nature is a commodity, is an ornament, is a vacation. We forget that we are part of this nature. And if nature goes south, guess what happens, right? So anyway, we become less healthy spiritually, right? Emotionally, physically. I like this. This is Tony Schwartz. This is from the book. I think Tony Schwartz has a column in the New York Times. He says, talks about addiction, right? And I work with addiction. So addiction is the relentless pull to a substance or an activity that becomes so compulsive, it ultimately interferes with everyday life. And he continues, he is actually making this about the internet. He says, we are all addicted to the internet, right? I don't have Wi-Fi. And we all feel it, right? There's so many positives and so many negatives. We don't have to carry big maps. We don't have to translate in a way some things, right? But we become less. So we become less human and fall into the darkness of our own making. That's what came to mind as I was reading Romans 1. You know, I don't want to sound judgmental here, but you know, we have been. So sort of God is letting us run a race. Okay, well, here you go. He abandoned us to, not because love is never at stake, but okay, well, try it, right? It's the prodigal who wants the money, and the father gives the money and wants to leave and say, we'll go, right? Love is not at stake, but there's an impact. So anyway, I believe that we became, as we are seeking more, we have become in some aspects less. So more is less. And the invitation of the book, the conversation, and I would say the invitation sometimes of our souls is to understand that less is more. And we learn actually that not only through the narrative in the Bible, Jesus and other people who are the witnesses, right, that less is more. Again, another paradox. So this is part of the content. So the dialogue, the conversation, I have a few questions I invite you to consider. So how is this for you? In which areas more become less in your own life? Where have you been suffering a little bit this problem? Maybe it's the opposite, where less is more, and you choose, or where do you need to slow down? You know, do you have a sense that need is in your life? And I for surely do. And in which ways you justify hurry or having to have more in your own life? So let's see what we get from here. I would like to invite Trish to be the first one. Trish, what comes up for you?
There you okay, go. Having problems unmuting myself. Gosh, I mean, this just resonates with me all over the place. I think probably all of us struggle with this to some degree or another, but I've noticed that, well, I've been noticing for a while now that the busier I become, the more anxious I become, because I don't have time to really settle into anything. It just becomes I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, and then I start to feel overwhelmed, and then I can't go anymore if I'm overwhelmed. So I've, for the last several years, intentionally been making sure that I try to put as much white space or buffers between activities, even if it's on Zoom like this, because I need time to process. Mostly my emotions is what I can continue on and going through things, but my emotions are very lagging in keeping up. And so if I have more white space between activities, it really helps me to be able to process everything instead of just keeping everything in my head and going through life like that. One of the things I think since COVID that has really struck me is that it was such a blessing that we could still connect with one another via Zoom and, you know, all the groups that started even for faith walking. But for me personally, it got to be to a point where there are so many ministry opportunities, things I could engage in. I could go, I could learn about this, or I could learn about that. I could do a virtual and see the, you know, paintings with somebody in Florence, Italy, and see all of that. There was so much I could do online that I recognized, okay, you know, slow down, wait a minute. You know, I don't want to be plugged into my computer, doing all this stuff via my computer all the time. So I'm learning and still learning to be selective in what I choose to participate in online, as far as seminars or any of that goes. And I try to, I've really worked at defining what is mine to do. And so I really work at keeping that first and foremost in my mind. You know, what is my responsibility? Namely, I have a couple of roles at church that is mine to do for sure. Nobody else is going to do it except for me. And so, and then from that, I have other, you know, I'm committed to faith walking and the groups that we're doing through this. And then everything kind of falls out from there. I still struggle with mostly my phone. It's not so hard for me to close my laptop and to put it away and to stay away from that. But this little phone has got, it is so hard. And I think the biggest, and it's like true confessions, but one of the biggest things I have a hard time with is there are some games that I like to play on my phone. I love word games. I love word games, as Judith knows, or anybody that's on Facebook. I love word games. And so I'll often just pick up my phone. I'll just do it. It's almost mindless. Not all of them. Word games are not so mindless, but I justify it in saying, well, I just need this downtime. I just need this downtime. I just need to slow my mind down and just be still. And next thing I know, you know, an hour has gone by. Time has gone by when I could have, even just being still with the Lord without the phone would have been more beneficial, so that I can hear his voice better. So yeah, that's my struggle. Even though I'm trying to set up things that slow me down, and I do find a lot of strength in silence and in solitude, as well as in community, in this community and in real life community, it's still a struggle. It's a struggle with this phone. Not to take up too much time, but I know in this chapter, he talks about Tristan Harris, who was the Google whistleblower. Yeah. And I've been following him for a couple of years, and I haven't stayed real up with what is with his movements. But he does have a place called the Center for Humane Technology that recognizes that there should be some ethical standards applied to our electronics, to what's on the web. And I know that 60 Minutes just very recently did, like in the last couple of weeks, did a piece on him.
Yeah.
So it's very, very interesting.
Yeah. Thank you, Trisha. And, you know, the thing is, the white noise in our lives has become the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the white noise between a meeting and another. It's so funny how you go to a doctor appointment or something, right? And on those spaces, mm-hmm. and everybody's, you know,
everybody. Yes, everybody.
You have a minute to spare. Okay, let me check. Right, mm-hmm. let me check. Yeah. And I don't know. Really, I'm not trying to judge in a way of negative. But we are addicted, and mm-hmm. I'm aware. I'm being aware. And this chapter mentions how most of the apps, social media, and are created are businesses, right? And they are created trying to seek really your attention. So the exercise or the investment of people with a lot of strategical thinking mm-hmm. is to develop apps that are designed to get you, right? I wouldn't say to get you addicted, but I mean, hey, talk about game.
Yeah, really, that say that the most important commodity these days is our attention. And mm-hmm. that's what everybody's vying to get, is our attention.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to put it down, right? It is mm-hmm. pretty hard. We have reasons to be in contact, you know? There was a time when somebody needed to talk with me, have to come to me. Eventually it was the phone, and now it's email, now it's text, now it has to be immediate, right? And
yes.
I have, especially some of us with a more over-controlled bio temperament, right? We have this list of tasks, I haven't replied to, I want to get over, right? And then I rest.
Yes.
We never get over. It keeps coming, right? It's like Facebook. And again, no harsh words with Facebook. I have eliminated social media. And I'm not saying that with I can't. And
yeah.
Probably somebody, actually Facebook was telling me, would you share this in social media? I say, well, I don't know if anybody's listening to me. I haven't been sharing anything for a long time. And I like it. But
has it helped?
You know, it has helped, but as you say, there's something else. I notice in social media, it is like a little bit like a fantasy, right? It is not only the addiction, but it's the comparing.
Yes.
There's so many aspects of things. And So in that part, I think is helpful. But now I read news, you know, and you know, hey, news. Oh my gosh! And it's supposed to be a positive place for news. The one that I follow, so it has a very specific space for positive news. But guess what? There is some compulsion in me trying to know what's going on. What is working a little bit, I promise I'll give you time now, is I am really, the weekends, if I can, putting the phone aside. Mm. It's really, it's distance, physical distance, and getting involved in a project, something that I do with the kids, and throwing rocks, making a fire, or doing anything like that. Now I'm making targets because we have slingshots. You know, I have kids, and we get into those things. And so being outside becomes a better place. But my eight-year-old was telling me this weekend, because I had a faith walking thing on Saturday, right? It was short, but there is really, he was not judging me, right? But he was saying, it has been a long time since dad has had a day when he doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Ouch, right? Say, anyway, thanks, Trish, for
sure.
Yeah. Thank you. And Judith, what about you? How is this for you?
It's interesting because for one thing, with the job that I have to have my phone, because I have to be reachable 24/7 as the residence director of the dorm. So my phone is always with me. And there are times, and I for social media, I will say that as an extrovert, I don't know where I would have been during COVID without social media. I never would have found faith walking had it not been for a friend on Facebook who told me, Terry Pilarski, who told me about Keep Calm. That's what got me here. Because of my involvement in the Episcopal Church, I have friends all around the country. And so the phone becomes an easy way for me to keep in touch and to have contact with and continue relationships that I wouldn't be able to have otherwise. So am I justifying it? Probably, to some degree. I'll admit that. And I will say too, dealing with the depression and anxiety that I've gone through, one of the things that helped in the morning when I would wake up and I really wouldn't want to wake up was to say, okay, give yourself 5 minutes and play solitaire for 5 minutes in bed before I get up. And it worked. I could play for 5 minutes and then I'd get up and I'd feel better about the morning. Maybe there are other things I could be doing instead, but it's something that seems pretty innocuous. There are other areas in my life that I need to slow down. And I mean, even just recently, there's been a social group that I've been part of for the last, 15 years that meets on the second Thursday of, in the evening, on the second Thursday of every month. And I'm part of a book club that I love dearly that also meets on the second Thursday of every month at 7 o'clock. The other group starts at 5. And I was able to do both for a time. And I finally said, no, I can't do both. Because what happens is that I feel rushed with the group that I'm present with. And I'm not getting anything out of that because I'm distracted because I want to get home in time for this other. And so I've decided that I will not do that. It's not pleasant. I'm not enjoying myself with them. I'm not enjoying the conversation. I'm distracted by the fact that I really want to get home for the book club that I'm part of, which is reading a wonderful book. And that was a decision. It was a little hard to say to the couple of friends that I will miss seeing that night, but that's not the only time I can see them. I can make plans to see them at other times without having that conflict. So that was a surprise for me. I even this last Friday evening. Normally I have dinner with a group of women that I've had, their former faculty here with me, and they've retired. I'm still working. And we've had dinner every Friday night for, I don't know, the last 18 years, give or take a few Fridays. But I really wanted to go to the college basketball game. And that was Friday night. And I decided I would do that. So I'm making choices. I think that's my point. I'm trying to make choices so that, yeah, I could have gone to dinner with them and then rushed off to the game, and I wouldn't have enjoyed either. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be more aware and conscious in making the decisions.
And I love, Judith, when you mentioned choices, because at the end of the day, that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice. And the problem is when we can't make that choice. And, you know, and we notice that in our own story, right? So, yes, I always could do this, but I don't. And what is going on there when, you know, it comes to me like Romans 7 and 8, you know, why I keep doing the wrong choice? It doesn't have to be terrible, right? But I keep falling into the same thing.
For me, spending time with people is a priority. I can put aside my phone to have coffee with a friend, because I'd much rather, I'll have to have it with me because the college has to be able to reach me, but give me that opportunity and let me have that time with the friend in person. Last night, I made a choice, and it was a blast. The guys in the dorm spontaneously decided to start singing hymns together. And it started with just four of them singing a cappella, and it was fun. And I went out with my hymnal and started to join them. And then somebody came in with who played piano, so sat down at our piano and started accompanying. And that was great. And so we kept singing. And then the guy in the dorm who plays the tuba brought his tuba out. And then we had two violins join. And then one of my residents play, and this is remarkable, he plays the musical saw. I've seen this on TV. I'm really impressed. We sang in the lobby for probably an hour. There were other things to do, but this time was valuable. It was really, really valuable. And so it was a choice. The other stuff didn't get done, but that's okay. The important things will. And I would not have traded that hour with the guys and that music for anything.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Judy. That's awesome. Thank you for reminding us that this is about choices. And Laura, what about you?
Gosh, I can relate to a lot of what Trish and Judith said. I know the phone is a struggle for me, not with games. I don't play any games. But with reading interesting, like, news articles or I love, like, statistics and research and stuff. So it's not even, I don't know. I mean, there are things that are, like, you know, informative and interesting and educational, I guess. But a lot of them really are not, aside from being fascinating, they're not, like, adding anything to my life. And I can get sucked into just reading, like, all kinds of, like, research articles. And they're not usually short articles. And it can become a major time suck. And, but they're so interesting. And but I have to catch myself sometimes, like, okay, how is this relevant to me at all? You know, like, if I read this or don't read this, is it, like, applicable to me in any way, shape, or form? Or am I just like, oh, this sounds cool? Because I have to shut that down, because I'll just end up, and you know, they have these algorithms now. So, like, you look at one thing and then it has these links to all these other things. And the next thing I know, I have like 50 tabs open on my phone of like all these things that I'm like, I have to come back and read this. And then I'm like, if I do not read this, like, is something missing? No. But I get sucked into that. So that is a challenge for me. And the social media is kind of tricky. Like, so what Judith said with having to have her phone. So I have, for my job, I manage our social media accounts. And with business social media pages, like for Facebook, it has to be linked. You have to have a personal Facebook, and then you're an admin on like a business page, but you can't just admin a business page. You have to have a personal Facebook. And so I have in the past at times, before I had this job years ago, taken breaks from social media. Like I I don't know, there's things I appreciate about social media, but also I would kind of like to not have it sometimes. And I don't like that I can't take a break from it because it's part of my job. I mean, I guess I don't technically have to engage in personal, but literally, like, even to do something from my job, I have to log into my personal account, which is going to show up with the feed and everything. And then from there, I have to like go to our business page. And sometimes that's all it takes. Like, even, you know, logging in, and then the thing that's right there on the front, I'm like, oh, I want to respond to this, or I want to share this post or something, which I know I could have self-control and not do it. And if it was, that'd be great if it was that easy. But sometimes that's easy to get sucked into too. But I like what Judas said about choices, because it is a choice, you know, how we spend our time, how we spend our energy, all of that is a choice. And I know for a long time, like I heard years ago, like about being honest with ourselves even, and thinking like frequently, and I try not to say this now, but I hear it a lot, and I'm sure I used to say it, and I probably still do occasionally, like, I don't have time for this, or I can't do this or whatever. But really, I'm choosing what to do with my time, my money, my, any of my resources, right? Like most of the things that, you know, I say, oh, I can't afford that. Well, no, I could afford that, but I choose to spend my money on this other thing, or I could, yeah. I have time to do this, but I chose to do something else or whatever. So, like being intentional, even recently, I've been kind of reminded of this because I got married recently. And so there are lots of things that, I would like to do with my time that are good things and they're life-giving for me. But my husband and I were just talking about this earlier today, even like trying to be intentional about balancing, like knowing that we just got married and not jumping into things that are big time commitments, like just for the sake of like, maybe that's not something that we want to take on right now when we just got married. And that's hard for me because there's lots of things I like doing, even like in ministry. Like we went to breakfast this morning with the senior pastor of the church that we go to and stuff. And like my husband and I both have a lot of dreams for like ways that we would like to serve and ministry and stuff. But in the same time, we're like, I don't think we want to do that now. I mean, like want to, but like, is that prudent to do right now? Maybe not. But it's hard for me to say no to, like, I want to be intentional. It's hard for me to say no to things that I'm excited about. And I'm pretty excited about lots of things. So it's tough. Like I love people. And I love, like, I have a lot of interests and stuff. And so even historically, that's been something that has been challenging for me. Like it's easy for me to just start volunteering lots of places, or like disciple, like taking on lots of discipleship or mentorship type of relationships with people or things, which like are things I enjoy and I'm passionate about, but it's easy for me to overcommit to doing too many things because I like them all so much, but then, you know, it ends up, I don't have enough margin, you know, or I'm doing lots of things, but I'm not doing any of them as well as I would like to be doing them or whatever. So, yeah, that's something that I've worked on for years. It's like much better than it was. It still is a growth area for me. And faith walking was like really instrumental in that, even with one of the things when I did the, back when it was 201, when I did this years ago, and like the spiritual disciplines that you implement in margin was like the one that was like, ding, ding, ding. Like, that's what I need to work on. There are other ones too, but that was like the main one that stuck out to me as, and so I implemented that, but then, yeah, it's probably worth revisiting. So I think that's kind of how I justify it too. I'm like, but it's life-giving for me, like, but I enjoy it, which is good things. But even that, you know, like I want to do things well, I want to, so I need to probably be more choosy about how I do things. It used to be productivity for me. That used to be my thing. Like I think I had a lot of my identity before in kind of workspace. Like I want to do good things. I want to help. I want to serve. I want to feel like I'm needed and like I'm contributing and, you know, I'm productive and I'm using my time and my resources well for the glory of God and stuff, which are good, but it was not at the right place in my mind and life at the time. And I think I don't think I struggled that so much anymore, but now I'm just like, but I like it, yeah. But can't just do everything I like all the time, I guess.
Yeah. Thank you. I thank you also for reminding us. Yeah. I guess what I hear in all of that, Laura, is capacity, right? I want, and I like, and I even feel called to do many, many things. But then we discover, and I think that is humbling, that I don't have capacity, right? That there is some only such capacity. And the truth is their capacity doesn't improve every year, like, you know, everything else, right? Phones and computers actually, it might be that it deteriorates a little bit. But anyway, it's just, thank you for reminding us that.
I think that's kind of tough to come, as you said that, that even stuck out to me because it is about capacity. But I think even that's like kind of tough to come to terms with in some ways, because that's like the part of our humanity that isn't that appealing, right? Like the idea that I can't do everything I want because I have capacity, you know, it's kind of a two thumbs down, like idea, you know, like, yeah. I don't want to think about that. Like, oh man,
it's,
can't do the stuff I want.
It's humbling, and you know, it brings us to
exactly to
face our death. Sorry for, I don't want to be negative, but that's where we're going, right?
Now, absolutely, we live right.
All these years in this illusion that, you know, everything is, you know, limitless, and is not. I mean, what I will say, the way they will say is, it's good for my soul to face my limits, the fact that I am finite, and I don't have all the capacity of the world, right? Like, I cannot grow every year in capacity. We have tried, and I think we are learning that we're finding our limits. Yeah.
I think it's helpful for me even to remember death, like not in a morbid, like dwelling on it, but that helps me sometimes keep things in perspective of like, am I being intentional? You know, am I spending my resources in ways that really matter in light of eternity or in light of my lifetime here on earth, you know, because it is finite.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. I love to hear Jennifer. What are your thoughts?
I feel the same as everyone. As people have been talking, I almost feel a little bit the other side of this. Because as much as it is a choice, I also think we're very much victims to our culture and the pressures of industrialization and modernity and all of these things that are not in our control. And so as I was thinking about my choices, those make me feel very guilty. And that's not all negative, but also remembering how much pressure we have on us and how they are using millions and billions of dollars to have us be addicted to these things, to advertise in our very materialistic, capitalistic world. So it's not, I'm not trying to be political. It's just that I think we also have to extend ourselves the most grace and not, that doesn't mean we say, oh, it's fine for us to be on our phones for an hour because we know that's not healthy for us, but also that the pressure to do that is so, it's way too easy. And so, you know, then how do we construct our lives to be away from our phones so that we don't feel that pressure? I don't know. It's just this very difficult balance. And yeah. I do feel like it's a choice. And I also feel like the choice is often made for us. And it's very hard to back away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jennifer. It's, I believe you are naming something that is real. There is an expectation, right? And that choice is made for me. In a way, right? Unless I am really able to be, I don't know, self-employed and, you know, without expectations for other people, but even family, right? There's an expectation of a level of connectivity and awareness and attention that sometimes it gets there. Yeah. What comes to mind as you say that is this idea that we are called to be set free. Right? And and again, it's another space of spirituality, right? How can I be free of this? And or there's a war going on, right? Without trying to make it as a over spiritualized war. Everything is the enemy. But the truth is, there's something going on. And I think the book is taking us eventually there. But we need to be aware. We need to be awakened. And that's the fight that we are fighting. Right? I don't know if this is so for you, but as when I get silence, when I get into a full awareness, I know, or I get present. I touch the longing that I have is truth is in my heart. And the longing is I want to love God. This is what I want. I know that all the other things are not so important. It happens in silence. I want to love people. I want to love my life, my family, my kids. I want to be a good friend, faithful follower. But I don't get silent as often as I would like. I don't know if that works for you, but for me, it is more the need of coming back to a longing that reminds me sort of who I am. And the awareness of the times when I have depleted myself from it. And I become angry, a bit resented. There's no joy, right? Joy is far somewhere. Nothing is enough. I become lustful in that way. I want more. You know, people who take a sabbatical, maybe you have that experience and you are overworking. It takes you a week or more just to get to baseline again, because you come like from this space. And what gets away, what is taken away from this is my capacity to listen to that longing and to listen to that voice of God also. That is the one who leads me to choices, right? But and that concerns me, because sometimes I get lost. There are seasons. Thank you. I love the conversation, and I love the fact that we can think about these things together, right? We will continue the conversation next week, and probably we'll jump a little bit more, Jennifer, when you are touching. I think the topic next week is something has gone wrong and is pointing towards those other things that we don't often see, right? So stay tuned. And finish with this promise. This reading, these conversations are helping me really to gain conviction of some changes that I need to make around especially my schedule, my work schedule. And I believe that this is so good for my soul. I had some conversations with my wife about it, and let's see. But I appreciate a lot the time and the effort that you put in being present and helping me process all of this stuff. Okay, well, I want to respect our time, and I want to finish as we often do, remembering that there is somebody in control that is for us, for you and for me. And is in the hands of that presence, of that loving God, that we entrust ourselves in the future. So this is a blessing as we say goodbye today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
I'm gonna look twice. at you. Until I see the Christ in you. Till I'm looking through the eyes of love. I'm looking through the eyes of love.